In our teaching, we'd also be sound of speech. I don't know exactly what all that means because I just mentioned in a prayer in the corner tonight, I am more and more inclining myself in preparation to not prepare to preach to the academic mind. I'm asking God to help me preach to the heart of men and women who sit and hear what's being said. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. Guard your heart, for out of it come the issues of life. So as I preach and talk about a legacy, I want it to go to your heart, not just to your brain. I want us to go away from here, not just stirred a little bit, but changed to be more like the Lord. That cannot be condemned. Why is that so important, that we would live and teach and in such a way that we cannot be condemned? So that those who expose you, he says, may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about you. Now there's your dream, isn't it? That we're going to live in such a way that no one has anything bad to say about us. Well, I haven't made it up to that one yet. But that is a desire in my heart, that when people say things that are not right, not fair, let them not be true. I believe there was a book written years ago, Elaine, I'd forget what it was called, but it says, pray that there would be enough evidence to convict us if we were taken to trial for our position with Jesus Christ. The story's told of a man was building a nightclub, a very kind of active nightclub in a little town. And so the local church set out a prayer vigil and said, we're going to pray and pray and pray about this thing. We need God to shut it down. Well, something happened and the thing burnt down one night. And so the owner of it took the church to court and said, we're suing the church because they're responsible. They prayed and asked God to burn this thing down or get rid of it. And so we're going to sue them, make them responsible. And so the judge simply said to the church, so how's your response to that? You know, what do you say to that? We're praying, God, would you do this and do that? I think the answer would be, Lord, I'm just praying your will be done. I was asked this week, may have even put it in the video, do I believe that what's happening to California, in particular Los Angeles right now, do I believe that's God's judgment on the wickedness of Los Angeles, California? That was asked point blank. I do not believe I'm God, and I don't believe you're God. And I believe it's a mistake for us to begin to say what God is doing and what God is not doing. Because I've said this morning to some folks, if that's true, that He's judging Los Angeles, then the rest of the United States and all of Canada is next in line. I'm in line. If God begins to deal, you remember in the Bible when the man was healed, the people kept asking the question, was he in this condition because of his sin or the sins of his parents? You remember what the response was? Neither. It's this way so that I can display the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said to you earlier, where's God in this? Go back to the fire in the furnace. He's in the fire with the people. He's watching and helping to pull through. What a worthy legacy goal, that they would oppose you and be ashamed because they had nothing good to say. Rabindranath, I think, Tagore, an Indian poet once said, in our present life, the seeds of our actions grow into the trees that will shelter coming generations. But I love the Greek proverb, which conveys a similar message. A society grows great when old men plant trees whose shade they know they shall never sit under. As we're leaving legacy, I think that would be one of the things I would keep in mind. I want to be planting some trees that people can sit under the shade, but I'll never sit there. I remember when my dad was trying to build a second church building. Someone said to him, Keith, you don't need a big building now. You're just meeting in homes. He said, no, that may be true. I'll never live long enough to fill that building up. But I believe I can build a building and God will bring some younger pastors to fill it up. I think that's what we're talking about here. Planting some seeds that he'll never sit in the shade, but someone else will be able to. Proverbs 27 verse 2 says, and I think it offers a good measure for our legacy journey. Let another person praise you and not your own mouth. Let someone else praise you and not your own lips. You've heard the statement, and we have for decades. If you could buy that person for what they're really worth and sell them for what they think they're worth, you could retire. You ever been around some of those folks like that? Boy, they have a very high self-esteem. I think it's very important to say, what do other people say about you? What do they think of me? Not what I can try to talk them into thinking about me, but when you let them form their own opinion, what comes from their mouth and what comes from their mind when you are not present. Our task is to be praising the mighty acts of God generation to generation. I think I am more burdened with that particular thought now than I've ever been, now that I have two married daughters, two married grandchildren, and two great-grandchildren. Our task is to be praising the mighty acts of God, generation to generation. What am I spending my time on with Tony and Blaine, with Holly and Richard, with Kaylin and JC, with Mark and Jesse, and with Jordan and with Riley? When they form their opinion of pops or pop-pops or whatever they choose to call me, what kind of a legacy are they forming in their mind? Am I passing from generation to generation the belief that I have in the Lord God? I remember when I was not very old, my dad was talking to us boys, and he said, I taught every one of you boys how to cut hair. Oh, brother, do I remember when that started in Texas. We moved when I was 10, so I had to learn before that. He'd take us out in the shop and put us on a 5-gallon bucket upside down, gave us the clipper, and he held the mirror, and he said, now you give me the haircut. I can remember crying. I thought, there's just no way. But that wasn't an option, John, right? When our dad told us to do something, that wasn't an option. Wasn't a suggestion. Wasn't a recommendation. You start cutting. So he said, I taught every one of you to cut hair, and now you can cut better than me. I taught every one of you to weld, and I remember when that happened. We went out to the shop. He took two pieces of metal, laid them down, and hooked the ground to it, and said, now you weld these two together, and he would hold a little hand mask with a lens in it, and he would watch and help me learn. He said, I taught you all how to weld, and now you can weld better than me. I taught you how to preach and pray, and now you can all do it better than me. He went on and on and on. And I thought, that's not the main thing that my dad taught me. My dad taught me to believe in God. You've heard me say before, my dad taught me to pray, preach, and witness. And my mother taught me how to be a pastor. My dad, for 44 years, was bivocational. Nobody ever gave him a dollar's salary. Nobody bought his gas. Nobody paid his groceries. And nobody sent him on holidays or anything else. 44 years. I watched and learned what it meant to say, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, was it easy? No, it was terrible. He went broke, almost went crazy. Doctor sent him away for a while. The house burned, everything. We had nothing. And yet, he continued to say, God is in charge. God knows what He's doing. We're going to be okay. We're going to make it. We're proclaiming the mighty acts of God, generation to generation. If you were to ask my kids and grandkids tonight, how much time does your pops or your dad spend with you talking to you about the Lord? I believe that there's nothing as important in my life and Brenda's as what legacy I can leave with my children regarding their relationship to Jesus Christ. Psalm 145 verse 4 says, "One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts." Joel chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Tell it to your children, and let your children tell it to their children, and their children to the next generation." Do you follow that? How many generations, he said? You tell it to your children, let your children tell it to their children, and their children to the next generation. Where is DK's priority for the life that God's given him here on this earth? What do I want to be remembered for? I'll tell you that right at the end. I think I am trying to sift through my life and say, God, what has eternal value that I'm investing in people's lives around me? What am I doing to help them also be ready and be prepared? Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22 says, "A good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous." When he talks about leaving an inheritance, he certainly is talking about we need to leave some kind of monetary, but I think that's not the most important inheritance that you can leave. I think an inheritance that will help them when they get up every day to know, this is a day that I'm not only accountable to God for, but this is a day that I can bless the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give back into His kingdom. We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road. Those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a staring testimony to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through them all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. That's a legacy that I would like to be able to say I am leaving, so that those who come behind would find us faithful. What are some specifics for which I want to be remembered? Number one, I want to be remembered as one who lived his faith and encouraged other people to get ready and stay ready for the return of Christ. You know, I can preach to you and read all kinds of scripture and read a song that I just read. It's entitled, "May Those Who Come Behind Us Find Us Faithful," Steve Green. And that's wonderful. I think it's beautiful words. But how much more is it important that I am remembered as one who lived his faith and that I encouraged other people? You might not think you're doing much when you encourage people today, but I want to tell you, my dear friends, there is a great, great need in the world in which we live for people to be encouraged and lifted along. Number two, I want to be remembered as one who was ready for the return myself. I'm not just trying to get everybody else to get ready and stay ready. I want you to know that DK believes that when he checks out tonight, and if God takes him home, don't you worry about him. You can be concerned for Brenda and what will happen to her. I probably not left her in the best of shape in the world. But I want you to know that I'm ready. I too agree, and you hear me quote my dad often. He used to say, I'm ready to go. I'm just not trying to get up a load tonight. I hope that would be with you. Number three, I want to be remembered as a forgiving person. Forgiving someone does a lot more for you than it does the person that you forgive. It'll take away something that eats at you and burdens you, cramps your life and cramps your style, when we'll just forgive him, forgive her. And I won't be remembered as one who does not carry that grudge and let it just leak off on everybody else around me also. Number four, I will be remembered as an honest person in thoughts, words, and deeds. Many of you are old enough to remember when we used to say you made a deal and you shook hands on it. I remember buying a trailer truck load of bred heifers. Me and Brenda and I did not have enough for Zippo, but the bank had trusted me enough to say, go ahead and do it. I bought a trailer truck load of bred heifers from a young man from over east of Grand Prairie. And to seal the deal, we simply shook hands. I want to be remembered as a person who's honest. When I tell you something, that's what it means. It may be wrong. Tomorrow there may be additional information that I would answer you differently. But that will be based on the information I had at the time. Then I also want to be remembered as a benevolent person. One who gives of all that you have. I have said many times, and I pray this to God, God, don't let me take anything to the grave with me that I could have given away to help someone else. I remember asking my brother Jody, whose wife died this last year. He would give and give and give. And I said, at their 25th anniversary, and they were married 60 years before she died. And I said to him in front of everybody when I was emceeing, Jody, have you ever had anybody ask you to borrow or use something that you had, and you told them no? He sat there for about 30 seconds and he said, I sure hope not. You know, that's what we're talking about. Are you known as one who's a giver? And then the fifth one would be for me, I'm going to be remembered as a person who's truly humble before God. Did you know that humility is something you can fake it? The joke has been written, said that one man wrote a book about my humility and how I attained it. I would like to know that other people, and I, you notice what I said, humble before God. Because we live in a world right now, if you're, quote, humble before everybody you live with, you'll get stomped. I remember an older lady in Texas said, I used to teach my kids to grow up and respect everybody and be kind and respectful. She said, and now I wonder if I taught them wrong. Because we're in a world that'll stomp on you if you're humble and if you're meek. But I still will take that chance. Before God, I want to be one who's humble. The scripture that was read earlier in Luke tells of a taker, a couple of keepers, and a giver. The robber was a taker. Robbed him, left him for dead. A couple of spectators came by, and one on one side, and another one came along from the other side and took a look and just kept on going. But then one came by and stopped and helped and put on oil and wine for the hurts and the bruises. Took him down to the inn and paid the bill and said to the owner, when I come back through here, if the bill is more than I've given you, I'll give you more. I believe that is a good legacy. Not to be a taker. Boy, there are some takers in the world. You've been taken perhaps at some point. I know what it feels like. It doesn't feel good. And I think I know what it feels like to have people walk by that could help you. But I also know what it's like. Many of you in this room, even to this day, you still come by and stop and you help us in our ministry. I would say you're a giver. So may you and I leave the legacy of a giver like Jesus. Oh, may all who come be find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, you know our hearts tonight. You know my heart. You know the words that I have just echoed in this room. But Lord, you also know my heart. And I pray that what I have said has come from a heart that you have spoken to, and that the message goes to the heart of these, my friends and Christian family. May we leave a legacy, even though it's difficult in the world we live in right now. May it be one will draw people to Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.